Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, today we are here to celebrate with all of this wonderful music and extra special things that we bring today in this way, to celebrate what one young man did. He standing up to the powers of the world with the good news that here I am and I can do no other. And this good news we celebrate because it then changed the world. And now this changing thing that happened, this one man was not someone that was 500 years ago. Right? His name was not Martin Luther, but Jesus. It began with this generosity of God that came to us in Jesus. The Word made flesh, crucified, risen, ascended Lord. This good news that God has now taken up a reign then of this world, taken charge of the world through Jesus. And that God's plan, his plan to put this world right, has begun. That Jesus has bound that strong man, the devil. And now he fills this world with his goodness and with his justice and with his love, just the way that he promised. But it's in a way that we didn't expect and could never imagine. And this is how we know who our God is, that he is a God of overwhelming generosity. Because he is a different kind of king with a different kind of power, one that is not of superior force and might. It is not one of a superior argument, but it is one of something much, much deeper. Beginning with God's generosity to us, his willingness to come across that infinite chasm between the divine and creation to save us while we were still his enemies, while we were his sinners. Because of what Jesus has done, we have been shown this immense generosity of God. And that generosity of God works into every aspect of our life. There's not a piece of our life that it does not touch, that it does not speak to, and that God will have his way with us and to conform us to himself. Jesus is this generous gift from God. It's his grace. As St. Paul says today in Romans 3, that it's this grace of God that we have been shown. Grace, this gift. This grace is something that you did not earn. It is something you do not deserve. Grace is something that we do for someone else, for their well-being, but it costs us something. That's grace. God's grace to us is that he has come to save us. That is for your well-being. And it has cost him dearly. God's grace is Jesus. His grace to us is this gift of forgiveness. It is his not giving his vengeance upon us. God's grace then is the bedrock of your value. No matter what anyone were ever to say about you, to think about you, that this is the core of it all, is what God has done. His grace to you. That this is the core of who then you are, is that you are loved and you have been given the grace of the most powerful being in all of the universe. That is the core. And from that, you then can experience then real joy, a joy that can transcend any situation that you are in. And this is good. This is generous. And this is news. It's news because that's not how the world is. It's not how the world works. A new thing has happened. And so it's good for us to take time to remember the Reformation. Not because, we're Lutheran or something, all right? That's not why to remember it. It's good to remember this because it reminds us that the church is built on this good news. And it is not built on anything else. Because see, it's easy to get the good news, the gospel, it's easy to get it all twisted around and to make it no longer good. It's easy for well-intentioned, church-going people who love their church to get things really twisted up. It's easy for people like me and people like you to miss the gospel for what it really is and to turn it into something that is not a gift, something that is not grace. For you are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That redemption. Redemption is that the time has come that God is bringing about his redemption. That is his great liberation for his people from that great slavery to sin and evil. And the selfishness that we all come under. The powers of evil are so seductive that they lure us all in into rejecting the gift, into rejecting his grace. For there on the cross, this is the gift, on the cross, all of that was condemned. All of that was judged. The power of evil worked its way so deeply into every fiber of Jesus, through the moral and through the spiritual violence that was done to him, and even the physical violence done. But what looked like a sentence that was executed on Jesus was really a sentence against sin and against the devil and against death, its very self. That is why there is no longer any condemnation for you, as you are in Christ Jesus. It's easy to lose sight of it. It's easy to get kind of lazy with the way that we talk and reduce it to simplistic terms, saying things like, well, all people sin. God doesn't like sin, and so God must want to then kill us and destroy us. But isn't it great that Jesus just kind of gets in the way, and now you get to go to heaven? See, that's sadly, it's like taking John 3:16 and making it say that God so hated the world that he killed his own son. Luther, he told of his own desperate labors to appease God's wrath. And he wrote this, I did not love a just and angry God, but rather I hated and I murmured against him. And then he continues on a little later. He says that this justice of God filled me with hate. I hated this God. I would hate that God too. A God that hates me so much that he would kill his own son. But thank God that is not the God that we have. This is the God that we have. We have a God that we worship, and this God that we love so much is because he loved us so much that he was not willing to write us off. Instead, he entered into our own problems, into our own mess that we make, into our own story. He entered it physically, spiritually, emotionally, morally, and he absorbed all of our sin and all of our pain and all of the suffering that we bring into this world and that we experience ourselves, and he took it into himself. Because of his love, because of his grace for you, because of his gift for such messed up people. His love is so strong, it is so powerful, his generosity is so great that even death itself cannot hold him back. He loves us so much, is so generous to us, that death will not be the hurdle that gets in his way to rescue you. And when he raised Jesus up out of death, he made a new way for people like us. And so when we can latch on to Jesus and connect with him and follow him in faith and in trust, we have a possibility for grace, for his gift. To have a clean slate, and a new start, a new chance to be a new people. To be a new people, not by the power of the world, the power of the world that only humiliates and belittles and destroys, but by the power of God. The power of God who loved you and me so much that he gave. He gave his only son. He gave himself for you. And so now God's justice is here for those who have faith in him. For we are all in the same place. We are all messed up people. And we are all, by God's grace, by his gift, and by his generosity, we are made right in his eyes. The only eyes that matter. And we are made part of his family by the redemption by Jesus' blood. Because God put Jesus forward, not propitiation, right? He put us forward, right? He put Jesus forward as that place of mercy. Jesus is that place of mercy through his blood to demonstrate God's generous justice right here in heaven, right now, where God is meeting us with his grace and with his forgiveness, with in Jesus as that place of mercy. So let this generous news, great news, news of God's love be that motivation for us to step out in faith, to make a commitment to God, to use all that he has given to us for his purpose, especially that purpose of sharing this generous good news with anyone else, with everyone that we know, so that they too can look to Jesus. See, we're thinking of generosity these next few weeks. And generosity is not merely money. Okay? We've got to get that through our mind and our heart. It's not this. It's not give money to the church so the church can meet some budget. That's not what this is about at all. What we are doing is simply reminding you of God's generosity. And then just let God work on you in the way that God does. And this is so important. It's important for us to get this through, is that when we hear of when we hear people talking about money in the church, it's easy for us to kind of cringe at it and feel uncomfortable about it. Or to think, well, I've heard all that before, I don't need to hear that again. We're kind of cynical about it all. Okay, fine, I can't change how you think. I can't stop you from thinking what you think. But what we will say is this, is that anytime a religious community, especially religious leaders, use their power, we have great influence, and we use that power to guilt or to shame or to manipulate anyone to do anything, especially about giving of resources, what we are doing is then violating the very reason that we gather. The reason that we gather is this, is the story of God's generous grace, his good news to us. And so we're not going to do that, right? We're not going to violate that. But we just remind you of why you're a Christian. Why do you follow Jesus? It is because of God's incredible, generous gospel. And so we're here to tell this story again and again, to be a community of people where this story is unleashed into the world, unleashed into our neighborhoods, and out into the nations. That we would be a people that remove all barriers that keep people from hearing of this, and to be impacted by this generous good news. That's one of the reasons why that we're working to bring on a director of music and worship here at Timothy, you know, that we're diligently working for that. And that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons is so that this person can help us shape this time. Shape this time to be a people that hear this gospel, not just in what is spoken, but what is sung, what is heard, and what is experienced during this time. So that this would be an even more formative time of our lives, formative in our walk with God, so that we would experience here his generosity, that we do experience the gift, his grace. It is not merely then to have beautiful music. It is so that we can experience his generosity and respond in praise and thanksgiving, being formed as generous people as we go out from here. So that in all that we do, all that hangs from our lips and everything that beats within our heart and runs through our minds would be this generous good news. That God would be working on us so that we would have words to share of this generous gospel. And by God's grace, that has been happening. Right? It's been happening. And we celebrate all of that. For our generosity is just this. It's a response to God's generosity. During this last year, one of the ways that we live this out just here in this time. During this last year, we stopped passing the plate. And that was initially due to kind of concerns of COVID, right? Of, you know, this person touches and those kind of things. And we kind of know that that's not how any of that works anymore. But we're not going to go back to that. We're not going to go back to passing the plate. We've put it here in front, right? As this place here on this table. And we're going to keep it here. This is because our generosity, right? The way in which we give in this one way is a response to God's generosity to us. Okay? And so that we come then to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is God's generosity to us. It is God's grace that is given to me. We give not as a fee to pay. Right? It's not a membership dues. Right? It's not a price to pay to receive anything from God. That price has been paid fully by the very blood of Jesus. It's been paid by the gift that we come to receive. It's by his blood that he now offers to you. And so it's an act of worship. It's an act of response to his grace. That we have time then to think it through. Think through the ways in which we will respond in this way. And not in a moment of peer pressure as a plate passes in front of me. And that I need to like respond in a way that is what someone else might think of me. It's just to be able to think it through in the ways in which we will be generous as a response to his generosity to me. See, our goal here at Timothy, right? Our goal, and the goal should be of every congregation of God, is that we would have more and more people hear the story and encounter this generous God. To have the presence of God be among them, to have an invitation to this generous good news. The generous God who comes to us in his Spirit, who comes to us in our midst, and then he goes with us as we go back into our lives. Here's the hope that we really have, is that we believe that whatever the future looks like, whatever it will be, it will only be from the gifts that God gives. That's how it all comes. It only comes from the gifts that God gives, and God is, we know, is a kind of God, but a generous God. It comes not by someone strong arming. It doesn't come by someone guilting into anything. That's not how things will come. It will just happen. It will happen when your passion is ignited and we hear of God's generous gifts to us. In his name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may guard our hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.